Hey there, welcome to the Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
And that host over there is Ben Noble.
And that host over there is Brian Dooley.
You couldn't see, but when I said over there, I was looking across the room at Ben.
And when I said over there, I was looking across the room at Brian.
Yeah, it's an auditory medium, so sometimes we have to explain the jokes.
A little theater of the mind.
Yeah. You'll just have to picture us. We're sitting in a cavernous room that has deep mahogany walls, thick timbers across the ceilings.
Brian's going to edit it out, but there's a crackling fireplace just right over there.
It's huge. A lot of people think that it looks like a bonfire, except that it's set into the wall with the horns of mythical beasts mounted to the wall.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. I think that you should stop murdering mythical beasts to hang on the wall of the attic.
Yeah.
The palatial attic.
I keep saying, like, this is the last time I slay a unicorn. And then I come across another unicorn. And it's not what everyone thinks. It's not a thrill of the hunt type thing. They're very bad creatures. They're like mosquitoes, kind of. They drill their horn into you and they suck a little bit of blood and it itches for a very long time, so you have to slay them
and then mount their horns on the walls of the studio.
Right. And there's only a couple of unicorn horns, but I guess it's enough to turn some people off.
Yeah. And then there's the hippogriff beaks, which is kind of gruesome.
I'll admit I got a little carried away there. That's on me.
The cyclops eyes that are in this jar.
That was a gift. I had nothing to do with that, but they are tasty in that maraschino cherry juice.
And like, I realize that Pan is like the Greek god that's half man and half goat. I assume, yeah. But it's like, you just mounted his head on the wall, which...
Yeah, it's
just
weird.
It kind of looks like a human
head. It looks like a human head, but in that closet over there, there's the little fuzzy legs.
Okay.
I put them on sometimes and prance around.
Yeah, and then the lucky centaur's shoe that you have on the door frame.
I hardly think that a centaur's shoe is the biggest offense here. I think you're really nitpicking. And speaking of nitpicking, you rode a griffin here today.
Well, yeah, but...
Like, you enslaved that noble beast, and now you're just riding it around.
Yeah, but like, they live longer in captivity.
But look at his weird fin on the back. It's all drooped over.
I found him like that.
Well, I guess you can't fight that.
Another thing that I should mention is inside this palatial attic, we're both wearing very fancy like robes and also smoking cigars. And we have big glasses of brandy.
That's a given. It is something of a hunting lodge.
I just wanted to complete the picture.
All of the mythical creatures that I've slaughtered over my lifetime, not counting unicorns, because you don't think of it as a slaughter when you slap a mosquito again. Mm-hmm. It's all been done legally, and they've been raised specifically for, well, also not Pan. That was just murder. I take back any defense that I tried to give of myself. I'm a horrible person. No Yetis. No harm has befallen a Yeti under my watch.
But your Bigfoot skin rug is unique.
I didn't know they were related when I first got that rug.
Well, now that we've had a ethical discussion to start the show off, should we get into the question answering?
Yes, before you open that box and find my chupacabra hide. Why don't you explain to everyone what we do here?
Oh, we haven't even done that?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I guess I should start there before we move on to the question answering. What we do is we answer questions, and really we just answer one question a week because doing more would be just too much to ask. And what we do is that we answer those questions using the tarot. So there's a lot of ways to do that. I feel like I'm just really struggling here to get out what it is we do.
It's all right. We've got time.
I just can't stop looking at that mermaid tail that you have hung on the wall. Sorry, I'm just trying to... Shake that one off. Okay.
Ben, you keep pointing these things out, and it's beginning to make me feel like I possibly should feel badly about this, and I don't appreciate that.
I'll let you think about that while I officially explain what we do, which is that we take a deck of tarot cards, we read a question, and then we draw three cards, and in the order that we draw them, They represent the recent past, current actions, and future 100% money-back spiritual gold guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only outcome.
And then, if Ben hasn't carted me off to jail for imagined offenses against mythical creatures, then we'll do a card of the week.
And then after that, there'll be an outro, and then we'll finish our cigars and brandy and go home.
Provided I am not imprisoned.
Well, I'll go home.
I do feel kind of bad. I feel like when you listed out all of the slain creatures,
it started to sound like a lot.
Yeah, it started to sound like a lot, especially the more humanoid they got. And when you just mentioned the mermaid, I think I may be a criminal. I think I may be a magical criminal.
Well, Brian, this has all been an elaborate intervention that me and all the listeners have been planning for a really long time. We have a private message thread, and we've been chatting, and I'm glad that you see the light, because we care. We just think it's too much.
Yeah, well, any amount would be too much, right? Any amount of murder is too much murder.
Exactly, Brian. You're coming around to our way of seeing things.
Is your way of seeing things that I need to go be in prison for this?
Yeah, and it has the added bonus that I won't have to do the podcast anymore, because they probably won't let you do that from jail.
Oh my gosh.
Unless we record it on those, like, phones through the glass.
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, if I sneak in some material, I could smuggle them in.
Yeah, smuggle in some recording material, trade all your cigarettes for a microphone.
Yeah, the smuggling material is quite bulky, and my knowledge of smuggling things into prison only goes so far, so...
Just smuggling things out of the woods?
Well, it's not smuggling, they're on reserves. Oh, those are reserves. Preserves.
Preserves.
Oh.
Well, Queerance Corner?
Queerance Corner. Well, this should cheer things up a bit.
Sure. Unless it's like some sort of slain mystical beast deck. It's not. It's a deck that we have had before, but only in a live show.
No, we've done it once before, not on a live show also.
This is the third time I'm looking at this deck?
Yes. Maggie can confirm, but I think I'm right.
Maybe. It's your favorite and my favorite, the Mountain Dream Tarot, A Journey Through the Tarot by B. Nettles. Now, the little white book is just like a quarter sheet of paper.
Yeah, it's mainly just history about bee nettles.
Okay, how's she?
Fine, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm a little bit off balance because I may be going to jail for the rest of my life.
Well, the Mountain Dream Tarot is a deck that fans of this show will know well. It's a photographic deck. Essentially, if you're having trouble imagining what this deck looks like, just imagine that you came across a box of 78 photographs taken in 1974. And then you put those onto cards, and then you put the names of the cards on them, because that's what you'd find here. You just, like, here's the Knight of Cups. It's just a teenage guy who kind of looks like Mick Jagger with a real horse.
And a cup.
And a cup, standing in his backyard. Here's Strength. It's like John Belushi's younger brother on like a farm holding a dog. A happy dog.
How do you know that dog's happy? Maybe that guy's a criminal also.
Oh, boy.
If you're listening right now and you have slain a mythical creature by accident or by design, please call in immediately and let me know how I can get out of this legal trouble that I seem to have found myself in.
The Mountain Dream Tarot. 2 stars, which is probably honestly more generous than I've ever been before to the deck. But boy, oh boy.
Boy, does Ben love the Mountain Dream.
All right. What's our question? We haven't even gotten into that yet.
Oh, we do have a question this week. Our question comes from...
All the creatures that you murdered, and they want to know, why, Brian? Why?
I think I've explained myself fairly well, except for the mermaid one. That was bad. And Pan.
All right. Our question this week comes from Aster from Arizona, who asks, my question is probably one some... or most of us can relate to, which is, why am I afraid of my own success?
Man, I can sure relate to that. I'm so afraid of my own success that I've been running from it solidly for 40 years.
Maybe that's behind all this murder. You know, maybe that's the deeper...
But as reason. A murderer...
You're very successful.
I'm pretty successful.
Are you afraid of that success?
I am now. I wasn't before. I had no self-awareness.
All right, well... Oh, did you have more to say before I so rudely interrupted?
I don't know. I just can't stop thinking of all this murder. It's just, it's bad. I'm in a bad place, everyone.
You've been running from your success for 40 years. And do you have any advice, pre-advice?
Why am I afraid of my own success? That's not even advice.
No, I wasn't asking you that question. I was stating it as a fact.
Oh, yeah.
Because you stated it as a fact.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I'm asking if you have any pre-advice to help Aster get over it.
I don't. Well, you're not running from success. You're running.
Not at the moment.
You're running headlong into success. So what made you stop being afraid of success?
I wasn't prepared for that question. I wasn't ready for you to turn the tables on me.
That's how I got those unicorns.
Yeah, I guess I don't have any advice that's just jumping to mind at the moment as to how to get over fear of your own success.
Yeah, I think you've stumped the chumps on this one.
Yeah.
For pre-advice. We've got cards coming up.
I mean, I have reasons as to why people would be afraid of their own success, but then not advice for overcoming that other than like, what's the point if not to be successful?
Well, luckily Aster is not asking how to get around that. Aster is just asking, why am I afraid of my own success?
Oh, I have answers for that.
Okay, wonderful.
But I feel like embedded in the question.
There's an underlying question.
There's an underlying question. I mean, I think one, my reason of why people sometimes get afraid of their own success is that like if you are good at something or you succeed at something, then you set an expectation that you will continue to be good at that thing.
That's true. Yeah. You have a precedent, and then like if you can't continue doing that,
then you're failing.
You're a failure.
But if you didn't try or you intentionally failed or you sabotage yourself, then you didn't set that bar. And also like success creates more work for yourself.
Well, luckily I've never had to deal with that.
So that's another reason, is just that it's easier to like watch Netflix than it is to succeed at something. Because if you succeed at something, then you A, set the bar, and B, have to keep meeting that bar or surpassing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
Yeah, it's not good enough to like just do okay once you've done really well.
Right.
Ugh.
All right, well, let's see what the cards say.
This whole episode is stressing me out.
Well, I'm sorry, Brian. You know, we had to talk about it sometime.
About the success thing, or are we still on the murder thing?
All of it.
Great.
You have a lot of problems. This is a multi-intervention.
Well, Aster, come with us on this journey, and we'll see if we can answer your question and solve my problems.
Flip.
The Three of Wands.
All right. So the Three of Wands shows, I assume he must be a cool guy because he's wearing a leather jacket.
It's very clearly Bob Dylan.
Yeah. In a leather jacket, holding three big, long sticks, and he's standing on the shore of a lake, and there's a sailboat on the lake. He's looking out over it.
And the Three of Wands is about having put plans in motion and now waiting for those things to come back and pay off.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of, you know, success and fearing your own success, this is the prime time where you would be fearing your own success because you've set the plan into motion. You're waiting for the results and you're like, oh crap, what if I do a good job?
Yeah. And it's kind of out of your hands at this point also. So there's like a complete lack of control once you've set things into motion.
Yep.
So that's our recent past.
Mm-hmm. Now the present. Flip.
The Four of Coins.
Okay. Here is a man who looks a lot like, I can't think of it, something in TV. Elrond is who I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He sort of looks like a grown man who's dressed up as Elrond, and then he's holding four coins in the way that the Four of Coins man holds them, which is inefficiently.
The coins are also plates in this.
Have you ever realized that much of the tarot, many of the problems that these characters are facing are just holding things inefficiently?
For sure.
The Ten of Wands.
Yeah, the Ten of Wands.
The Eight of Swords is sort of in...
The Five of Swords.
Yeah. It's all about... It's like a lot of people could just solve problems if they held things better.
Yeah.
Or had friends to hold things.
And maybe that's the answer to every question. Hold things better.
All right. Well, the Four of Coins is about, well, I think we have conflicting interpretations of this.
Go ahead.
Mine is always about stinginess.
Mm-hmm.
And yours, I think, is about protection.
Yeah, I don't think that they're conflicting. I think they're on different ends of a spectrum of the same thing, which is like, conserving your resources.
Mm-hmm. Although I think protection makes more sense here, of like wanting to protect yourself from your own success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, based on what we said in the pre-advice, like success brings its own set of troubles with it.
Well, so do you think these are those troubles?
I think these are the resources that you currently have that you bring to the table, mm-hmm. and you're protecting them by not putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
By not risking anything.
That's good. Well, now that we've settled the situation, time for the future.
All right.
Flip.
The Emperor.
Okay. Here is an older man sitting in someone's backyard, and he's holding an orange or maybe a peach and also a sword and sitting on a chair that probably came from the kitchen table.
I think he's holding a Dragon Ball.
Maybe.
And the Emperor is the king of the kings.
Yep.
The Emperor is in complete control of everything around him. Yeah?
Yeah. That's accurate. Now, as the card of the future, our future 100% money back spiritual guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only outcome card, I think this sort of marks, you know, this is the major arcana card. It marks a change, a big turning point, and is sort of like the opposite of the Four of Coins in some ways. Like, here is a man like holding on to everything, being like, I can't try anything, I can't give up anything. Whereas the Emperor is somebody who's had a lot of experience, who's put themselves out there, who's
managed to find one of the Dragon Balls.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anything about the plot of that story, so I assume that you find the Dragon Balls.
That's probably an accurate assessment. It was decades ago when I watched any Dragon Ball stuff.
I wasn't cool enough to watch that. I watched Yu-Gi-Oh!
I know you watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Blue Eyes White Dragon, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Dark Magician.
Nope. I only know Blue Eyes White Dragon.
All right. Well, got
and
it.
I thought it was Magic the Gathering until you set me straight.
Nope. Two different things. Also, at one point, I realized that Yu-Gi-Oh! Was on like Netflix or Hulu or one of those.
Yeah.
Like, this was a couple years ago. And I was like, I'm just going to watch a couple episodes just to have some nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Some Six of Cups. And holy crap, it is awful.
Oh, yeah?
I was so addicted to it, and I couldn't wait for the next week's episode when I was in, middle school. But then I watched it, and I was like, this is nonsense. This doesn't even make sense.
So it's a cartoon about playing a card game about creating monsters.
Yes.
So that there's a lot of levels there.
There's a lot going on. So back to the question at hand. I think that I don't know if it's not really advice, but the Emperor and this transition towards the Emperor makes me feel like it's a warning almost of like, if you just are always conserving your resources, then you never get to this future where you have experience and you have mastery.
Okay. So there's like a sliding doors situation in the present where right now you are conserving your coins and possibly avoiding success in that way, but you have the ability to make a different card be there so that you can reach the Emperor.
Yeah. I feel like that's almost even more, that sliding doors thing makes even more sense given the past card, which is the Three of Wands of like, you're in this like waiting for plans to come to fruition phase.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can either move out of that phase, like, Because when we originally talked about the Four of Coins and I asked you, I was like, are those the resources that Aster has now? And then you said yes and gave a good explanation. In some sense, it could also be like the fruits of whatever those plans were in the past.
Yeah.
And then rather than like reinvesting those coins, you're just holding on to them. You're like, well, I've done this and so I'll stop now.
Yeah, I've reached this level of success and I will not put myself out any further.
Right.
And this is a weird situation where the advice actually comes somewhere in the middle card, mm-hmm. instead of in the future card. I mean, the answer to the question was in the middle card.
Yeah, I think.
Because that's the why, is you're trying to protect yourself and the accomplishments that you've already gotten.
Yeah.
By not putting yourself out any further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to risk your current success or reputation in giving it another go.
I think we nailed it.
All right.
All right.
Kind of like you nailed that mermaid's tail to the wall.
Ugh. It's mounted on a plaque. I'm not a savage. Thanks, Aster.
Well, you're not in jail yet, so I guess that means that we can go on to the card of the week.
And I think I may have found a loophole.
Okay.
during the music in between, the interstitial music, I was able to contact a wizard.
Okay.
And there's a chance that by the time this episode is over, I will have gone back in time and not killed those creatures. So then there's no harm, no foul. And it means that I'm not a bloodthirsty murderer as well, because I never would have done those things.
Well, that would be good. I guess I hope this all works out for you.
I hope so. We'll find out if the wizard shows up and follows through. Would you like some more brandy?
Yes, please.
So should we just jump into Card of the Week?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we are in Card of the Week, which I will now explain.
Yes. Go for it.
The Card of the Week is a card for everyone. And how this works is that if you didn't get your question answered today, well, we'll still tell you how to live your life.
You're in luck.
Because we'll draw one card from the deck, and then rather than use our own powers to describe it, Brian will read from a book that came with the deck to tell you about this card. And then that's how you should live your life for the rest of the week.
Yeah, quite possibly the only service we offer here at Amateur Tarot Pod.
And this deck is the Tarot of Pagan Cats, as opposed to Christian Cats. That deck was too preachy. Well, you must not have used this deck for a while or gotten it in a swap, because all the cards are mixed up.
Oh, boy.
But this is a sort of pencil drawing, nice pencil drawings of different cats doing the tarot.
Cats do the tarot.
It's a good deck, though. I mean, it has all the symbols that you know and love and the situations that you know and love, except it's cats. 5 stars.
5 stars for the Tarot of Pagan Cats. That's great.
And I love it.
So where does that rank it as far as best cat decks?
It's not as good as the Curious Cat.
Considerate Cat.
Whatever. That deck is still better, but this is still a good cat deck for your money.
Excellent. Aw, I just opened this book, and on the first page, instead of getting right into stuff about tarot, it says, "Welcome to the little white booklet of the Tarot of Pagan Cats. Get comfortable and relax."
That's nice.
Yeah, and then there's
I'll
a whole bunch more.
I'll sit back in my armchair and take another sip of my brandy. Well, here it is, the card of the week for this week, and no other. Flip. It is the Four of Cups. And here is something adorable. You have, I mean, maybe it's described in there, but here's a cat sitting under a tree with pink flowers, just lazing about in nature. There's 3 cups in front of it, and then there's a turtle carrying a 4th cup over.
Aw, that's way cuter than like a Monty Python hand.
Yeah.
That cat looks like my cat, Lando.
Hmm.
Okay, so the little white book, or booklet as it refers to itself, says, 4 of Cups, dissatisfaction with reality. Here endeth the reading.
Really?
Yeah, as much as I talked up this book at the beginning because of its non-little white book stuff, that was it.
That was it.
Dissatisfaction with reality. Which is an apt description of the card.
It is, but I feel like that's wanting, you know?
Yeah, it's a low Scarabeo deck, so the book is in like 14 different languages. And so I was under the impression that there were going to be many more words.
Well, dissatisfaction with reality. Is that advice?
No, that's just what the card is.
That's just what it is.
But this week, you need to take stock of what you have. Take stock of the things that are around you. And in particular, the relationships that you have. And make sure that you're letting people know that you appreciate them. And make sure that you are fully diving into the relationships that are available to you.
That's lovely advice.
Yeah, when other relationships present themselves, you'll be in a good place to accept that.
So do that this week.
All right.
All right.
That was the card of the week.
Well, here we are.
Here we are, back in the attic.
Yep, ready for the outro.
You know, Ben, it's been a long time that we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And I was just realizing, like, how stark this attic really is.
Yeah, just the white walls with the, like, the green stripe.
Yeah, the only thing that I have hanging up on the wall is a poster from a live show, from one of our live shows, and then some Star Wars stickers that were actually here when I moved in.
I was going to mention the Star Wars stickers.
It's amazing that we've done so many episodes in this little room.
Yeah, and then in the corner is just a pile of tarot decks.
There are several piles of tarot decks laying around. Do you ever wonder what life would be like if you just did things a little bit differently?
Sometimes. But, you know, it's like a real sliding door situation.
Yeah.
So I try not to get too deep into it. Anyway.
Anyway, here we are in the outro. Thank you so much, Aster, for sending in your question.
And thank you to all of our lols for listening. Hey, Brian, could you actually refill my water glass?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm going to have to... Can we do it after the show? Because I have to go downstairs because I don't have a bathroom on this floor.
Okay.
I love living here, but it is a small space.
All right. And now a moment of silence for the lols that we lost along the way. All right.
All right.
That wasn't a particularly long moment.
It was a long one.
Neither of us talked. Well, we have a website. It's amateurtarot.com. And I think you can find pictures of old episodes and old spreads there.
Yeah. And you can send us questions there.
And
you can listen to the podcast there.
The key feature is sending us questions.
Yeah.
Do that.
And if you don't want to do it through the website, you can also call us or text us, which Aster did. I didn't mention that earlier.
That's great.
314-325-6047.
We have Twitter at Tarot Amateur, and we also have Instagram at Amateur Tarot, where we are still posting new photos of cards that you can live your life by every day of the week.
We have Facebook at /AmateurTarot and a Facebook group at groups/AmateurTarot.
Brian claims to have a Twitter at Zen Iron Man. I wouldn't know. I've never seen it.
And Ben has an incredible website at I'mMakingAllThisUp.com where he writes different fan fictions from like different multiverses like Serenity and Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. So if you wanted to ever check those out, that has been Ben's reality as far as I know, always.
Yeah, I should just say that's something that I'm really into. So please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That's probably where you found us and it helps other people find us. So maybe one day we can move out of this stark attic. Thank you to the Yu-Gi-Oh! Show. Another fanfic that I'm really deep into.
What's another card besides Blue Eyes White Dragon?
I said Dark Magician.
And Dark Magician.
Oh boy, you're really testing my knowledge now. I don't know that I'm going to be able to name one. There is like a female Dark Magician, but I don't remember what her name is. I had like a special Japanese.
Well, if there's any justice in the world, also Dark Magician. There's not any justice in the world. I'm sure there's a different name for it. But anyway, thank you to the female Dark Magician.
Yeah, sure. That's where we got the female Dark Magician card. I wonder where those are. Maybe my parents' basement? Probably not mine.
Spoiler alert. Magic is real.
Now, the thing is, the world, it's a photograph of a woman. Probably like a middle-aged woman, and she's got some covering, but also not some covering. And this is probably somebody's mom. Could be B.
Sure, yeah.
And it's just like,
Robin Wood route.
Yeah, but like what do you think if you come across your mom's tarot deck and then there she is, half nude?
I don't know. I mean, nudity isn't by itself offensive.
I guess not, but if it's your own family.
Well, everybody is somebody's family. That would indicate that, like, every time someone's ever taken a nude picture. I mean, I guess, yeah, when you take a nude picture, you aren't like, I'm going to give this to my kids.
No. But, like, you take that nude picture and then you put it in a box or you give it to your lover or you text it out to the internet, whatever. But it's not on, like, a piece of art that you made that other people are going to use, you know?
Well, a lot of like erotica or pornography, like those are produced and put out into the world.
Yeah. And what if you came across,
and this is neither of those things.
What if you came across your family member? I mean, this is a whole other discussion that we're not going to get into.
Let's get into it. Anything to take away from my murder charges.
All I'm saying, Brian, is, you know, don't take nude photos of yourself and leave it around for your family to find.
No one wants to find nude photos of me.
Just wait until this episode goes up and there's comments in the group clamoring.
I'm sure.